Enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
I love you too. Hello, Nashville. All of our lovely, lovely people from everywhere, all over. Happy to have you listening today on this cloudy day in the city, overcast and everything in the Ville. I do trust you are having a somewhat of a restful weekend, although you did have to get the rowboat out last night. It rained really big time. Well, did it rain where you were? Because naturally,
just a little, just a touch.
Oh my God, it rained so hard. I collected rainwater last night, old school style. My family was like, "What's she doing?" I was collecting rainwater for my plants. I think every now and then they might like some fresh water versus
tap water.
Yeah. So until the big thunder came, and then I was like, I'm done. I'm out. Anyway, see, you wouldn't know anything about that. That's old school.
Yeah.
Collecting rainwater. I bet y'all never did that in the country. Didn't you visit your grandparents or somebody in the country?
No, I might have seen some empty, I don't know, cups or empty bowls or something laying around outside when it rained, but I don't know if they collected it like that. You know, for that purpose. Yeah.
Well, maybe I was, my family was poorer sometimes than I knew. But my mom used to collect rainwater, my granny, to water their plants.
Oh, okay.
There was, and the plants always look good, so work for them, and I guess it can work for me. Anyway, how you doing this
I am excellent.
Overcast Sunday morning?
Excellent. And yourself?
Superb. Okay. Simply superb. The weekend could last a little bit longer.
It always can, can't it?
Right. Couldn't it? No question about it. It could have. And it certainly won't be long before school's back in session and your students are getting their supplies and getting ready to return to their classrooms. I think sometime at this time of year, I think the kids are getting bored in a way, you know, some of them.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. They get bored until they look at the calendar and they go, oh, 3 more weeks.
Yeah.
Huh?
So let me get my play on. But it just, I don't know. Well, maybe they're just so into gadgets and stuff that they don't even notice, you know, because it's all about, they look at their cell phones and they're trapped. You know, if those things were ever used to turn against us as a mechanism to brainwash, it would be very effective.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
That's a lot of their world.
Well, I mean, just period.
So that's how they communicate. What was it?
But everybody.
Yeah. Well, this newer generation, remember, I can't think of the guest that you had on. They were born into it.
Yeah.
So they don't know, you know, even at an early age, little kids.
Well, we can look at these students up here and know they don't know nothing.
They're just born into
about
it. It's how they, so.
Because, you know, they didn't know how to use a telephone.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, what am I supposed to do with this thing?
Yeah.
I'm like, answer
it. So technological-wise, they'll be the ones that take us to the next
well,
evolution.
But I mean, at the same time, what I'm thinking of is if someone was plotting evil, okay, let's say a country that doesn't like us.
Yeah.
Plotted evil. And, you know, we use that as a mechanism to, you know, and I'm not doing sci-fi. I know what you mean. It has formed people's behavior.
That's true.
Because it's the look down thing with your, like you're doing now over there texting. Y'all think he's talking to me, but actually in Sunday mornings, X is texting. he's just good.
I'm doing a multiple things.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just that. It's checking emails, all kinds of stuff.
Right. So, yeah. See, that's my case in point. Yeah. See, I could be telling you that you've just won $1 million and you wouldn't even.
Oh, I know that.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would.
You'd be, let me see.
Where do I sign up?
No.
Yeah.
I'm just in terms of the mind control.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, to me, an area that of concern should be.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to, do you have that app loaded on your phone where it changes you to an old person?
No.
Mm-mm. I'm not interested. I just look at my mother's picture and I don't know how I look.
Yeah. Mainly because it was an app that I found out later that it was owned by the Russians. So, yeah.
Well, I don't want to know what I want, you know, I hope to live that long. Okay. I don't want to look old.
Yeah.
That's what the kids think is cute, but no. But I know there's been a lot of chatter on that subject. So, anyway, I'm just, you know, thinking out of the possibility, the realm, and this weather is going to cause us a few problems today, depending on where you live. We are going to experience more showers and thunderstorms again today, as we did last night and portions of yesterday. Some people outside of this immediate Davidson County area south of here have issues with storms early this morning. But the heat will be back on again. The maximum heat index value will be 95 to around 100 for places north of I-40 and around west of I-65 this afternoon. So that does include all the counties and things around us here, a lot of the counties, and Davidson as well as all the others around us. Despite isolated and scattered showers and thunderstorms expected to develop as the afternoon hours progress today, maximum afternoon heat index values will range from 95 to around 100 degrees. So it is going to be another very, very hot day and probably quite humid like yesterday was. And please keep in mind that young children and pets should never be left unattended in vehicles. This is especially true on very hot days when vehicle interiors can reach lethal temperatures in a matter of minutes. So for us this afternoon, maybe some of you may need to take the umbrella just in case when you go to a service today. If you go to church, we have a 60% chance for a 60 that slides down to 50. Today, this afternoon, chance of rain, high of 88. And then that chance for rain continues on through tonight. From it slides from 40 to 60 this evening. So thunderstorms are still possible for us tonight. And they do go into all day tomorrow. So we are going to have a rainy couple of more days here in Nashville, but the temp here is only supposed to be 88 for today and 84 tomorrow. So that rain is going to help a little bit cooling stuff off, just a teensy bit for us here. But it has been, heat wave has been serious.
It has.
And, you know, it has really, really been quite serious. And knowing that it's been broken for a couple of days is a good thing. This is third Sunday is Pastor's Roundtable for the month of July. And we are expecting two guest pastors today. Bishop Tina Robinson of the Point Church in Smyrna.
Yeah, she's and, here.
Oh, well, bless.
The bishop is in the house.
Bless the Lord. And Reverend Eloise Freeman
okay.
of Westwood Baptist Church Center. So that's what we our expectation is for today. Have you gone an early voter yet?
I have. I did that on Friday.
Okay.
Friday morning.
How was it crowd?
It was
brisk.
It was early, and it was like maybe 9. So pretty steady.
Oh,
a lot of people were out there holding their signs and things of that nature. So pretty steady. I voted
was
right
there
here.
Was there a line?
Yes.
Was it?
I voted right here in Porto at the Porto Library.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Yep.
I'm going first of next week and make my choices then. So I like... You know, I think Friday was the first day when they opened up the satellite.
That's right.
Location, so a lot of people were waiting on that. So this will be quite an interesting race and everything. The Metropolitan General Election, the actual election day is Thursday, August 1st, and the early voting goes up until July 27th. And... they open them up at 8 a.m. and all this, just a host of community centers around the region. And so make sure that you exercise your right to do it as long as possible. I hope we never lose it. Our right to vote. Hope we never, never lose it. Now here's, I got to mention my church announcement. I think I might have said something last week on the one that came from our dear friends close by Clark Memorial United Methodist Church, where the pastor is Reverend Dr. Herbert L. Lester Jr. He's senior pastor. And associate pastor is Reverend Dr. Elizabeth A. Williams, associate pastor. And we know her quite well.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Hadn't seen her in a while.
Yeah, though. She's been busy.
Yeah, but we know her well. That Clark Memorial, the Methodist men at Clark are having their annual fish fry, and that's coming up on this Friday at on the church lawn at 1014 14th Avenue North, which is the corner of Phillips Street. And it's from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and they have all kinds of things, delectable items there on their menu to help raise money for the Methodist men, from barbecue chicken sandwiches and plates to tilapia and all the other stuff that goes along with it. And thank you to Mr. Melvin Kirk, United Methodist Men President, for making sure that information got over to us. And, you know, that's always a good fundraiser for the churches.
Yes, it is.
That fish, honey. Because folks straight up love it. Now, let's see what we got here in our headlines coming out of this region where we are now. Nashville. Two Southwest Airlines planes collided on the tarmac of Nashville International Airport. Airline officials say no injuries were reported in last night's collision. An email statement from Southwest Airlines spokeswoman Michelle Agnew says the winglet of the St. Louis-bound Southwest Flight 1555 came into contact during a pushback with the winglet of Southwest Flight 4580 headed for Atlanta. A photograph provided by a passenger on board the flight to Atlanta showed rainy weather and what appeared to be the top of the other plane's fin clipped off. The airline says both planes returned to the gate under their own power and were taken out of service for evaluation. The Southwest flights will continue to be scheduled to destinations using new planes. So they're already where they were trying to get. A spokeswoman for the airport directed inquiries to Southwest. So I'm certain that they will be having a discussion in Southwest about clipping those. But sometimes they do come kind of close.
They
do. You know.
Yeah, I was just on Southwest a few weeks ago. So, yeah.
Did you feel a clip closely?
No, but.
You see where it could happen, though.
Yeah.
No question about it. Anyway, out of Memphis, the Shelby County Sheriff's Office says six corrections officers have resigned after an internal investigation into accusations of inappropriate conduct. The Commercial Appeal reports that the identities of the deputies were not provided. A social media post from the Sheriff's Office said the investigations focused on inappropriate relationships with inmates at the Shelby County Jail. The deputies were suspended with pay in mid-June while an investigation was conducted. One of the deputies resigned in June after being charged with a personal conduct violation and consorting with persons of bad or criminal reputation, which are administrative charges. Sheriff's Office Captain Anthony Buckner said in a video release that the investigation was halted because the deputies left the department and the office's General Investigation Bureau did not find sufficient evidence to bring criminal charges. So they escaped out the back hatch. Hmm. We done, we out.
I'm pretty sure that goes on all the time.
And it's too early for me to start, I'm certain. Now, back here in Nashville, a federal judge has ordered the state of Tennessee to mediate with a group of prisoners who are demanding treatment for their hepatitis C infections. The order came after a four-day trial in Nashville. It included emotional testimony from a mother whose son died of complications from hepatitis C while in state custody. At issue is treatment with antiviral drugs that promise to cure most patients within weeks. Because the drugs are very expensive, the Tennessee Department of Correction has said it will only provide them to the most serious ill prisoners. Many other states have faced similar decisions both in prisons and within the Medicaid system. They contend the drugs are unnecessary for healthier patients. Chief U.S. District Judge Waverly Crenshaw ordered mediation at the trial's conclusion on Friday. Now, it would seem to me these same antiviral drugs that are on television commercials constantly. Mm-hmm. You remember seeing those?
Yeah.
That they were saying the cure and the Hep C cure and all that. Uh-huh. And I don't know the cost, but I just think they're stonewalling, you know, myself is what I think. I think that they don't care if they live or die. I mean,
it's all about the money.
Well, I mean, it's like, now what about when these people come out and they still have, you know, these things?
They get buried under tons of lawyers and things of that nature.
Well, it's just, you know, I just think that it's going to, you know, to me, it would be a pound of cure or an ounce of prevention with, you know, I don't know. So that's one of those things I think that they ought to consider. You know, why folks got to die in order for people to believe? If the medicine works and it's proven record of it working,
take
it for 90 days and you're supposed to be cured. So I don't know. It just doesn't make sense to me. But I have to find out how much the cost is. Anyway, when we come back from the break, I want to talk about the opioid crisis is producing some news out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And let's see, your 50 years ago, you weren't even born, so you don't know anything about the the moon landing.
No. I learned about it in school, though.
Oh, so you were what? You were not even a twinkle in your mother's eye yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, because you 48.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you weren't a twinkle, not yet. Anyway, we're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, Carol Fran, once the queen of New Orleans, tells us how she once hit the jackpot. Well, sort of, with the king.
Shaking his head with his hair at the time.
And one of the strangest blues emails we've ever received. Join me, Rogene Bailey, the happiest man in America, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from AEG Presents. Grammy Award-winning Herbie Hancock is coming to Nashville August 11th at Ryman Auditorium. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Herbie Hancock, August 11th at the Ryman. Sponsored by Nissan, proud partner of Ryman Auditorium. Produced by AEG Presents. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is all up in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88. WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And looking back at these headlines before we begin the Pastors Roundtable here shortly, out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Florida survives on tourism, but a decade ago, thousands of visitors made frequent trips to the state, not to visit its theme parks or beaches. Instead, they came for cheap and easy prescription painkillers sold at unscrupulous walk-in clinics. The clinics started in the 1990s and began proliferating in the early 2000s with little oversight. Their parking lots filled with vehicles sporting license plates from Ohio, Kentucky, West Virginia, and elsewhere. The pill mills helped seed an overdose epidemic in many communities where the pills ended up. This week's release of federal data showing the flow of prescription opioids throughout the U.S. has again put the spotlight on Florida's pill mill industry, which in hindsight provided a blaring fire alarm about a crisis that claimed tens of thousands of lives. And why isn't the industry in trouble for starting this? Is the question.
Hmm.
The pharmaceutical industry should be shamed because they fed the beast. They fed this.
There were a few of them that were going to jail.
Bye.
They, you know, arrest the guy standing on the corner, but the guy writing the prescriptions and flooding the market.
The companies that make the pills.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. Those people aren't poor. They're extremely wealthy as of this moment. I'm telling you now, that's shameful. And that is something this country could have done something about, but they chose to look the other way. And let me see.
Campaign out of Washington. Contributions.
Well, and that and a thousand other things. Mueller's testimony poses a risk for Trump, but also for the Democrats. Robert Mueller's testimony before Congress will depend not so much on what he says, but that he's even saying it at all. For Democrats, the special counsel's appearance Wednesday creates a moment many have been waiting for. Mueller finally speaking out, piercing the public consciousness about President Donald Trump's response to the Russia investigation and whether anything should be done about it. The political stakes are high for Trump, but also for Democrats who have spent the past 2 years pushing toward this particular day. As public attention has drifted and views have hardened, Democrats are counting on Americans hearing what most have not likely read, the stunning findings in Mueller's 448-page report. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said, "Let us listen. Let us see where the facts will take us, and then we'll see what happens after that." Well, that's the only thing you can do at this point, you know. Mueller's appearance comes more than 2 years since the start of the Russia investigation, an extraordinary moment in Trump's presidency when, after Trump had fired FBI Director James Comey, his Justice Department appointed Mueller to take over the inquiry into election interference and the potential role that Trump has his winning 2016 campaign may have played in that. Mueller spoke publicly only once. That's why everybody can't wait to hear what he's got to say, saying his team's report released in April should speak for itself. While Mueller's testimony was once envisioned as a crystallizing event, a Watergate-style moment to uncover truths, public attention has drifted in the months since the report was released. And Trump is a master of changing the subject.
Manipulator.
King of that. And, you know, I said that about him when he was running.
Yeah.
You know, the shell game.
He's the king of...
He easily shifted the public's attention to his racist attacks on four women of color in Congress. And now he's going to help the Swedish rapper.
Yeah.
Help the rapper over in Sweden. You know, he just swings from one end of the tree to the next.
Hmm.
This man is off the chart, man. Mm-hmm. He is completely gone. And Sweden's prime minister, speaking of swinging from one end to the next, Sweden's prime minister says he would be glad to speak with U.S. President Donald Trump about rapper ASAP Rocky's detention, but he cannot and will not attempt to influence prosecutors or courts. Trump tweeted Friday that he would call Prime Minister Stefan Löfven to see what he can do about helping ASAP Rocky. Rocky has been held in Sweden for weeks as police investigate his alleged involvement in a fight. They didn't say send him back, did they? First Lady Melania Trump and celebrities, including Kanye West, urged Trump to intervene. First Lady Melania Trump, she cares about stuff like that, but nothing else? Really? The Swedish leader said yesterday he was aware Trump has a personal interest in the case. He don't care about sending the rest of the women, people of color back. Just give us this cat. What? This is so crazy. Löfven called Trump's desire for a conversation certainly positive and said, "I will explain that the Swedish judicial system is independent. In Sweden, everyone is equal before the law, and this includes visitors from other countries." So we'll see what becomes of this situation, because I just think it's just another thing to keep you all guessing, wondering, trying to figure out what he's getting ready to do next, and especially to help someone of color. And after telling the rest of us, we got to go. So let's see. Now they start telling folk they have to go. Now what's going to happen with you all that are from England when you're told you got to go, and the Germans, they've got to go, and the French have got to go, and the Asians, Japanese and Chinese, they have to go, And let's see, the everybody people but from Mexico, they got to go.
Everybody but his wife,
and,
right?
And she ain't from Czechoslovakians, they got to go. let me see, who else is people from Norway, Norwegians, they got to go. Canadians, they should have been gone. Mm-hmm. People from Latin America, they got to go. People from Africa, y'all should have, 400 years ago, you should have been gone. So, I mean, literally, who's going to be left if everybody's gone? The First Nation people
the Indians?
Be the only one, because they were here
They'll
first.
They'll be rejoicing.
They might be, yeah. So they can get their land
They'll
back.
Be rejoicing.
They might be,
yeah.
But if everybody's gone.
Well, you know, his wife will be leaving.
Yes,
Ivanka.
And her
as soon
her
as they after right after Inauguration Day, when Joe Biden is sworn in,
two of his wives.
Then as soon as we swear in the next president and they slap the cuffs on him. She's
going to get her check.
There you go. Yeah, she'll get the check, and then she'll be
deuces,
leaving.
Deuces, Jack.
Yeah.
Then I got to
That's
go.
That's all she's waiting on.
Okay.
She's going to take a little Baron.
He can say to her, you got to go.
Yeah.
Because you know how that's going
to
go.
He won't be able to. He'll be locked up.
Well.
Yeah.
Oh, church got quiet on that. Anyway, we didn't mean to bring the ladies into our craziness on Sunday morning. This is how we roll. This is the only opportunity I get to unwind myself. It's between 7 and 8 on Sunday when this stuff in the news is so crazy. Even people that do the news, you just want to just holler because some of it is absolutely insane. And it does not seem to be getting any better. And folks are feeling a certain kind of way about things politically and otherwise and have deep concerns. So I'm grateful to let me welcome in our lovely guest. Is this the first time these two ladies have been here?
Yes. They were having church in the green room.
Oh, that sound like it should be. Okay, that's how we want it. The sisters is all up in the hair. So we're going to have a beautiful program for you today. This is the third Sunday, and third Sunday is Pastor's Roundtable on the 401 show. And for those of you who are not familiar with the show or the Pastor's Roundtable, for many years this show has been on the air. We used to do a quarterly roundtable on Sundays. But I said we got too many burning issues years ago. And I said once a month. So 12 times a year, I bring y'all in. Right. And we just discuss whatever. And every month, we have different ones to come in. So we're happy to have you two in here today. And let me welcome into the studio Bishop Tina Robinson of the Point Church in Smyrna. Smyrna. We got Smyrna in the house. So now tell us, where are you from, Bishop Robinson?
Well, I was born in, as they say, inbred in North Carolina, but I came here from Minnesota with my husband, John Robinson, who is a professor at Tennessee State. And so we moved here in 99, and we've been here ever since.
Well, amen. Now, where is the Point Church located?
It's located at 1350 Hazelwood Drive in Smyrna. So if you get off on Sam Ridley and take it down to, I think it's Rock Springs Road, and you make a right, and when you make that right, you're going to cross over Enon Springs, and it's going to take you to Hazelwood, and we're on the right.
Is it in a shopping center or a building? Or?
Yeah, it's in a shopping center.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Not to be confused with Life Point.
Oh, you know? Okay. Two different churches.
Excuse me. Yes, two different churches.
Did you found this church?
Yes, my husband and I founded it about 5 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
nice
beautiful.
Church plant. Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
So are you like daughter of a pastor or?
My grandfather was a pastor.
Okay.
My husband's father was a pastor.
Okay.
So it kind of goes down in.
Definitely that.
A good history.
And is it non-denominational?
Non-denominational.
Okay.
We believe everything in the Bible
Amen.
To be true. Yeah.
Amen. So hopefully the people that are listening that did not know that you were there, that you over there will come to visit.
Absolutely. And you know what? We have our services at noon, so there's no excuse.
Oh.
Get some breakfast.
Oh, so if they stayed out late last night.
Well, you know, something for everybody. There's a time for everybody.
Yeah, it is. So you could get dressed later and, you know, listen now and get dressed later and be on time.
Exactly.
Okay, wonderful. Now, this next guest that I'm going to be introducing, guest pastor, I know her so very well because I know her precious daughter. And her daughter was an intern at WFSK for many years and was so helpful. And then she would come back and help us during our fundraisers. Yeah. And if we need any point in the future since then, when we needed her, she would come back. So I know this beloved woman right here very well.
Yes.
And that's Reverend Eloise Freeman of Westwood Baptist Church Center. It is such a pleasure, to have you here. Does your daughter know you here?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
It is because of her that
I am here. Because I know she's working PR for Mama. And how have you been?
I have been well, thank
you. I did not know you were a reverend.
Well, I'm a minister. I don't usually use that title, Reverend, but I've been called to the ministry for about 20 years now.
Well, you are en route to that.
Yeah. And so I'm associate minister, one of the associate ministers at Westwood Baptist Church.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Just, what is it, in the field, serving our Heavenly Father.
And that's what's up, I'll tell you that.
Proclaiming now, the good news
amen.
Of His love
amen.
And justice.
Yes. Well, it's all over both of y'all, and that's for sure. Now, where is Westwood Baptist Church Center?
Right down the hill.
Oh, so it's close.
2510 Albion Street.
Oh, directly you're like across, neighbors.
I mean, literally, I will roll down the hill when I leave here. So just a few blocks from here, right directly across from Pearl Cone High School on Albion Street.
Oh, it's that way.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was thinking it was down, like going toward Lee Chapel,
that, no, ma'am.
The other direction.
As a matter of fact, Westwood's full name is Westwood Baptist Church University Center.
Oh.
Because we're right here in the midst of Fisk and TSU and Harry Medical College and the, you know, the schools. So that has been, that's
our
ministry
name. Okay, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's good to have these roundtables because it gives me a chance to find out about, you know, because, you know, by and large, a lot of the churches that come over, you know, they're not the ones that run the commercials and do all that kind of stuff. See, so, you know, there's a method to the madness
good.
Up here.
Yes,
and, you know, their city has so many churches in it and people don't, you know.
Yes.
And, you know, just so they might learn something or somewhere, you know, and we have a lot of transplants here.
Yes, ma'am.
And then some of the other churches that are well known, y'all need to know other people here.
Exactly.
You know, that's I'm telling it like I feel.
Know,
like
you always do that. I can't depend on you to do that.
I done got old now. You ain't nothing y'all do with me. Nothing, I'm telling you now. My family tried for a long time and they couldn't get no cooperation. But, you know, it just has been the way it's been. And I like to call it as I see it, because I'm like, so many of y'all are doing great work, and nobody knows it.
I mean, it's true.
And I'm like, why? So we're happy to have you.
Yes, thank you.
So good to be here. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I'm tickled to death. So, you know, and if your daughter doesn't call it, I'm going to be all mad at her. So you better call it there, because Mama's here. Anyway, now both of you all have a lovely spirit. I can feel it when I felt the presence, your presence when you came in the room. And how long have you, Bishop, been in this role? You said 5 years, but prior to that, were you, you know, at a church or in a associate pastor role or what?
Oh, my God. I think I've played all the roles.
Oh, okay.
But I started out years ago. I'm 54, so I've been in this a long time.
Uh-huh.
My bishop is out of North Carolina.
Okay.
And so just
what's his name?
Olin Cromartie
okay.
is his name. Yeah.
Okay.
And so he's out of North Carolina, so he was the first one that really said, hey, let me put you in ministry so that you can do what you need to do for the kingdom.
Okay.
So he ordained both myself and my husband and then started us out on that. And so I have 21 churches in North Carolina that I oversee with really? Him. Yeah. So we go back and forth and just visit the churches and visit with him and train up leaders Wonderful. And all of that. And so it wasn't until probably about 2010 where the Lord said, instructed us to start a ministry here with my husband wow. and I. So we're just here doing what God is calling.
Is he like co-pastor or something?
Yeah, we both minister together. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what was when the planting came? Because I know that's a topic a lot of times with the churches and all. What happens in your soul and spirit when you get, you know, it's time to do seeds and put them in the ground? What kind of feeling is that?
Well,
is it the same as being called?
It is, but it's at a deeper level because what you see is God gives you he brings people in your path that have a desire and a need. And for us, the Lord showed us that there are so many of his people that are sitting in their homes.
Yes.
You know, or they're on their jobs and they're doing life.
Right.
But they're forsaking the calling that God has placed in them to whatever. Yes. You know, because of what we call church hurt or because they've been hurt
and
in the
people,
church.
Yes. I don't even know. Sometimes them wounds can be healed because, it feels like a scar,
It is. And people put so much trust and reliance in their shepherd and their pastor. Mm. And then whenever something comes down the pike that wounds them, I think it's because of how they value their pastor, that they're hurt. And because of that hurt, then they become stuck and they don't know how to move past the hurt, or they value what their pastor says over the call of God in their life.
Mm.
And so what happens is most times you see people just begin to sit on their calling, sit on their gifts, and because they don't know what to do next.
Yes.
And so God has called us to really find those people, find them, administer to them, minister healing, help them deal with whatever the issue is. And then hopefully either they'll go back to their church, but mainly they will actually pick up the mantle that God has placed in their life and move forward past it.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Okay. So for you, Minister Eloise, I've been knowing you for some years, and I never knew, I always knew that you were a spiritual realm person, but I just never knew that you had gone so seriously into because you've always been sweet and kind and good and had all those Christian characteristics that we like to have. all of those characteristics that Christians are supposed to have, you had them. But when did you get your call?
I received my call to preach really in around 1997. I was in Boston, Massachusetts, and about ready to come back to Nashville, and the Spirit of God just really impressed upon me to announce publicly a call to the ministry. I was saved, I put that in quotes, received Christ when I was a child.
Oh, okay.
And the Spirit of God, I have to be honest with you, has been on my life to just serve him. I mean, I just, so I saw my life as a ministry. I was in public education, parochial education for many years. And I saw that as my work. I saw that as my ministry. And so therefore I personally didn't see a need to, preach as such or do another step of ministry. But he impressed upon me in 97 to acknowledge a call to the ministry. Mm-hmm. And so, but I don't carry a title because we all are ministers of the gospel. You know, mm-hmm. we all are called to disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And I really see myself in that way. So usually, I'm not going around saying that I'm a minister or mm-hmm. associate minister because I'm a laborer. I'm a disciple. I'm a student.
Mm-hmm.
And I love his people, and I want to see his people
Amen.
Healed, delivered,
Amen.
And walking in their
That's
purpose.
What's up right
yeah.
there.
Yeah. yeah. And so this summer, I've been working with children at our summer program. We've at Westwood have had a summer program for 22 years.
Oh.
So actually, the Lord called us to do that when I first came back.
Okay.
And so my ministry has been to children and to women and to young adults. Just whoever he has crossed my path to tell them of his love and to tell them that they have value. That he loves them, right. And he wants them to live. They don't have to settle for all of this confusion.
Lord, thank you.
Okay, I'm through preaching.
No, you're not. No, you're not. We go till 9, so you ain't through yet. You just getting going now, honey. That's what is absolutely up. And we are grateful to have our lovely guests in the studio today. They just, can't you feel it, Axel? They just got that good spirit.
Oh, yeah. They they're bringing a lot of joy and hope and just goodness to the
airwaves. Now, see, that's what y'all
morning.
Need on your radios right now. That's what, that is exactly it. You know, cast out some of the craziness.
Oh, yeah.
So stay with us this morning because we're just getting started on our Pastor's Roundtable for the month of July. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Here's a community reminder from listener-supported Jazzy 88.
It's one thing to be aware of breast cancer. It's another to do something about it. Here's to the heroes who are making a difference, who get out there and take action, who prove every day that they are so much more than a color. Here's to the people who are more than pink. Act, donate, get involved at komen.org/morethanpink.
The USA has lots of buried pipelines, so it's important to know the signs of a leak, like if you smell unusual odors or hear hissing, see bubbling earth or water, or dead or dying vegetation. Some signs are even harder to miss, like dirt being blown into the air, a frost ball in an open field, or a flame coming from the ground. If you see any of these signs, don't wait. Leave the area immediately and call 911 or your pipeline company.
Visit pipesafety.org. Brought to you by the Tennessee Gas Association.
And now a message from country music legend Kix Brooks.
We don't think about fire safety and smoke alarms until we have a major emergency. I know me, like everybody else, you don't think about it again until potentially you have a real serious issue.
Be a lifesaver. Check the batteries on your smoke alarm. It is so easy, a country music singer can do it.
To request a free smoke alarm, visit tn.gov/fire. Brought to you by the Department of Commerce and Insurance in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters.
And hot!
My battle buddies and I attended the NHL Stadium Series at Yankee Stadium. We had the time of our lives. Ventix, we can't thank you enough.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Visit vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Support for WFSK comes from Life Lux Jazz, November 7th through 11th in Los Cabos, Mexico. This year's festival lineup includes Incognito, Kurt Whalum, Gerald Albright, and more. In addition to the music, there will also be health and wellness activities, a Spirit of Jazz brunch, and Sunset Cruise. Information is available at LifeLuxJazz.com. That's LifeLuxe. Jazz.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again Sharon Kay.
All right, to Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. Eggs. Come here. Oh, he didn't see me. I need you to, we just moved Minister Eloise. Adjust her volume. We hate to have to do this on the air. I just moved her, and she can't hear. Oh. Yeah, she can't hear. We want her to be sure to hear. Thank you. Everything. Thank you so much. You know, if you could read my mind, you would be the bomb, you know? I guess his wife is like, no, Sharon, you do not want no one to read it, you know, because she would be worried about him reading her mind. Anyway, we are in our July Pastors Roundtable, and we have in the studio, we reintroduce our guest today, and that is Bishop Tina Robinson of the Point Church in Smyrna, which is located at
1350 Hazelwood Drive.
Okay. And how far is that from I-24?
Mm-hmm.
A few minutes?
It's a few minutes. So from here, it's probably about 15 minutes on a day like today where there's hardly any traffic.
Right.
Because I got here in like 10 minutes. But from Antioch, it's about 10 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Antiochers, y'all could go.
Mm-hmm.
Laverne, too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Murfreesboro.
Okay. Absolutely.
All right.
Almaville Road.
Okay. Oh, my bad. Minister Eloise Freeman. Now, see, I went to school with Eloise.
Oh.
I went to high school and grew up with her. Eloise. So I need to fix that. She is associate minister at Westwood Baptist Church Center, which is located at
2510 Albion Street.
Okay.
In Nashville.
Close by.
Close by.
She can be there in 5 minutes, right?
Probably three.
You know,
she's coast. Right?
Westwood has a good partnership with the Pearl Cone High School.
Oh, do
oh,
they?
Yes. Oh,
and
okay.
That's where one of my sons played football.
Oh, uh-huh. Yes.
And
oh, yeah.
They would feed them and, uh-huh. and things of that
oh,
nature.
Oh, really?
Which makes a big difference.
Yes, it really mm-hmm. does. Every mm-hmm. week, once football, I think we probably, once they start, mm-hmm. once school starts, yeah. every Friday.
Oh, wow.
We feed all of those
the lunch? You feed them lunch or snacks?
Dinner, honey.
What?
Real food.
Oh, my goodness.
And we feed all the football players, cheerleaders,
oh, wow.
and the band.
What?
Every Friday
throughout
football season.
That is a blessing.
And because Pearl Cone is such an excellent team,
yeah.
that goes into tournament time.
Oh,
so
wow.
usually from August all the way to December.
Yeah. Really?
We are feeding those precious babies every
so
week.
So nobody would know that if they don't,
yeah,
you know.
That is
so beautiful.
That is a wonderful, yeah. It's
wow.
a wonderful.
Because that might be the biggest meal those kids get.
Yeah,
you
I
know?
Mean, it's some real, really good food. And they get Jesus tea, too.
Okay.
In other words, the tea is so good that they get, they've named it Jesus tea.
That's good.
He touched it.
Right, exactly.
Well, that is beautiful. That's a blessing for those children.
It really is. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing for us. I mean, it is a amazing blessing for us.
The whole church gathers or a lot of people that gather to cook it and stuff?
Actually, it was an outreach of the men's ministry for many, many years. And it technically still is, where the men minister. And the other wonderful part of it is that before we eat, we do take time to just minister the love of Christ and give them an opportunity to even, you know, make some decisions around whether they want to mm-hmm. give their life to him. So that's for a few minutes. And then the men who have cooked the food, and now women assist mm-hmm. In cooking as needed. So
about how many does that impact?
Oh, as 50? Far as the students?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's probably 150.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Because football team, I don't know whether Minister Exum knows, but football team is a lot by themselves.
Yeah,
and then you get the band.
People.
And then you get the band and the cheerleaders mm-hmm. who come
so
in.
So by the time they get home, they're ready for homework and go to bed.
Well, see, they go to the game. So we feed on Fridays directly
before
the game.
Before the game.
So we feed them, and then they go back. And they're all mm-hmm. pumped up and energized
yes.
for the game.
Definitely. That's beautiful.
Yes, yes.
So they love your church.
Yes, they do.
Okay.
Yes, they do.
Have you seen that manifest into their families becoming part of that ministry there or coming over?
I think that would actually be a wonderful goal. That's why what we have done, the women have done the past 3 years for the cheerleaders, is to just do a greater outreach in terms of just being there for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, same thing for the men in the football team. So we have had some who have accepted Christ.
Yeah.
And, but amazingly, a lot of them do have other family,
okay,
you know, commitments at churches.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're there for them.
That's so beautiful.
You know, for whatever ways we need it. We've had opportunity
beautiful.
When there's been crises,
yeah,
you know, that that often happens.
Sure.
To be there to
that
minister to
is,
families in
and
that type
is
of
being
way.
Directly in yeah. the community.
Yeah, I mean that directly is, in the community.
Oh, wow.
And then we then have relationship with, you know, your football coaches mm-hmm. and the band director
yeah.
and the cheerleading coach.
So they pray
the
it up when they go out there.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes,
so
ma'am.
Watch out, y'all. Don't mess with pro coach football team. They have been spiritually fed
yes.
and
mm-hmm,
their
yes.
nutrition.
Yeah. And the big winner is the pancakes.
Oh, wow. I bet they love
it. I guess that's what football the team eat. They have regular meal, but then they have those pancakes along with whatever the regular dinner is.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. The extra carb or carbs
mm-hmm.
or sugar
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Lord. Well, I hope that brings a winning season for them.
Amen. Amen.
Because a lot of people in as many resources and things that this country has,
mm-hmm.
there's still hunger. And it's still a major issue for so many people.
Yeah.
And because they're hungry for a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Bishop Robinson, you kind of spoke on that a little bit a few minutes ago about, you know, when you just brushed on church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
the hunger is still in a person mm-hmm. to seek
yes.
a relationship.
Yeah.
When did you have a scenario in your life when you felt a church hurt, or you know, you may have felt like the Lord wasn't there listening to you and paying attention to you, because you know when you're hungry your mind mm-hmm. plays tricks on you.
Oh,
you
yeah
know,
yeah,
think nobody loves you, God doesn't love you, and all that kind of
yeah.
stuff.
I think it's really when you're I'm finding when you're pursuing the will of God
mm-hmm.
and especially when it's something that maybe you're not accustomed to doing,
yeah.
but, you know, or it's not something that's not a part of your daily walk. Starting the ministry was a task where mm-hmm. it's like, God, I know this is what you're saying.
Right.
You know, when I presented it to my husband, he was like, I was expecting him to say, no, we're not going to do that. And he was like, okay, let's do it. And I'm thinking like, okay, wait a minute, that didn't kind of work out like I thought it was supposed to.
He thought you were going to get you out.
Huh? I know. I'm like, you know, I know he's going to say no. You know, and he was like, yeah, let's do it, you know. But it's like you have such a zest, a zeal to do God's will.
Yeah.
But then when you get into the process of planning it out and walking it
yes.
out, you hit a lot of areas where it's like, God, I know that you're calling us here, but
sure.
how do we progress past this? Because you hit that wall.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's like I'm praying or we're praying and it's like, God, give me an answer to this or a solution to bring
yes.
people into or resources in my path.
Yes.
And it doesn't happen. And you have an opportunity to be discouraged because it's like, God, I know this is what you're saying,
right.
but it's not working out the way, it's not as easy, you know,
it's
as
not
I
easy
saw,
at all.
You know,
yeah.
you know, you showed me the end results of it, but you didn't really show me how to get through it, you
exactly.
know? And so it just becomes a part of where you just have to step out.
Yeah.
And understanding that when you hit a wall, it's not necessarily a wall, but it's God's way of directing you to your next step.
Yeah. yeah.
And you just keep moving forward, just believe in God that He's taking you
yeah.
where you need to be at the appointed time. Could I share my
Yes, mind? Ma'am.
So when we speak of church hurt, as you asked that, I just thought back to, gosh, well over 50 years ago when I was in our home church. And, you know, as a young child, you see the adults as role models
mm-hmm.
and, you know, your teachers and whatnot. But in independent churches, you know, people can make a decision whether they want the pastor or don't want the pastor.
Right.
And so we experienced a situation where these adults who I had looked up to
mm-hmm.
and watched teach about Jesus and whatnot, act very, very ugly because they didn't want a pastor. And you know, they had their meeting and put the pastor out. I mean, it was just really ugly. And I must have been a young teen, but I remember saying to the Heavenly Father even then, if this is you, I don't want to have anything to do with you. But in my heart, I knew that wasn't him.
Right.
But what that did, it helped me in these past 60 years or 50 years, is to understand human nature, understand what church people be, and I say that in quotes, and really see the difference between him and people. And the fact that even as saved people or everybody in church is not a child of God.
Right.
But it really equipped me to not be disillusioned by people's actions. A lot of people don't know that, though. So many people judge, in some ways, God on the basis of that disappointment of someone they looked up to, as you talked about with the shepherd before.
Well, and you know, that is part of us not understanding our role as Christians.
Exactly.
We're supposed to be the PR agents for the Lord. How can we do that if we're so ugly with it?
But you know, I think that also comes from the from that pastor. You know, if he has taught those sheep and leave that out by not a shepherd should always constantly be saying, don't look unto me, look unto the Lord. Always. Because if I fall, I need you to continue to look unto the Lord.
Well,
if you don't hear that,
not only say it, but he needs to walk it. Okay, because walking is what the issue for some folks.
But that comes with the walk. But if the people never hear that.
Well, and at the same time, not get caught up in the politics that happened in a church where brother such and such's check is the biggest, or sister. So therefore, her voice means more than grandma's little stipend that she puts in. See, that's that stuff that keeps confusion going. I've seen it, and you know I know church hurt because I'm still working through some old stuff, but I let it go, but it's still there, you know, it's still there. Anyway, we got a lot to say today, y'all. We're just getting going. This is the Pastor's Roundtable for the month of July, and we're going to find out more about the hearts and souls and minds of these beautiful spirits that are in the studio with us. But first, we must take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.